Proverbs 25:19, our theme verse says, confidence in an unfaithful man or person in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how worthy you are to be devoted to. How worthy you are, Lord, to give our lives to. And we do praise you this morning, and we ask help, Lord, to help us to be devoted people to you, to your lordship, and our master, we praise you. Amen. You may be seated. Also, if you would, turn to Joshua 24 this morning. A devoted life. This is third message in a series on being devoted. And many times at the first of the year, we want to say we are going to be devoted to this or devoted to that. And many times there's large crowds at the first Sunday or two in January. And then the flu hits or a four-day weekend or things like that. And it begins to decline a little bit. But I want to encourage you this morning to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be devoted people, because that's what makes a great nation, is to be devoted. That's what makes a great church, is for it to be made up with devoted men and women and devoted families. That's what makes a great family, is when a man and woman are devoted together till death do you part. So, devoted people. Again, Proverbs 25:19, when you place confidence in an unfaithful person or a person that is not devoted, it's like a broken tooth. You ever had a broken tooth? I have. You cannot receive substance with a broken tooth. So an undevoted, unfaithful person, there's no substance there. Nothing to place confidence in. And have you ever had a foot out of joint? I have. I've had a sprained ankle. I even have broken this foot. I had never told you that. But I was putting together a water bed. Remember when water beds were the thing to have? Well, we stayed with it for about 10 years. Finally, we threw it out. But I was putting a water bed together, a 2x12 side. My mother-in-law was holding one end of it. I was holding this in, and guess what? I was barefooted. And I was trying to put that screw in, that L bracket that went in those water beds, and my hand slipped, and that 2x12 went just like this, soup, right on top of my foot. I have a knot right there today on that bone on top of that foot. Well, I limped around for a while. I was in the Air Force, and I was scared to death that my supervisor would find out that I got hurt putting a water bed together and then would have to write a safety report on me. So I tied my combat boots real tight and I worked every day with a hurt foot. Can you put pressure on a sprained ankle or a hurt foot? No. And when you put a little pressure on an unfaithful person, an undevoted person, they go, shoo. They can't take it. But we want to be devoted. We want to be people that God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful. Devoted. We need devoted family. Today, the Sanctity of Life Sunday, a day that we, as a church, ask God's blessings on two little sweet baby boys. And we're looking at devoted families, a decision for every family. The family, I don't have to tell you this, the family is under attack. It's been under attack a very long time. There are so many things now that keeps families from even talking to each other. And it's called busyness. Always something to do. Busyness. And we are in a spiritual war and a spiritual battle. And it is mostly waged against families. What will destroy a church and hinder a church when men and women in a church get divorces? And when they can't stay together and be devoted together, that cripples a church family. Oh, we need devoted families. People devoted to one another, because we're in this spiritual war where everything is waged against the family. Oh, the entertainment today is just horrible against the family. Every show on TV has a homosexual in it. Everyone. Or the father's a dummy. Yes, there's a war against the family, a spiritual battle. And families need to make decisions. Who are they going to serve? What are they going to serve? Is it going to be sports? Go serve it. Is it going to be hunting and fishing? Well, go do it. You got to decide who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to be devoted? We need devoted people. And again, it is on my heart about what kind of devotion do we really have? What kind of witness are we being? When you witness, come and receive Christ, come and be a Christian, come to church, come and be baptized, and then that same convert that you have helped lead to the Lord Jesus, then you lead them to go drink beer the next weekend, or go to the deer lease, or go to the lake, and go do something else, and then maybe next month you'll say, hey, let's go back to church. I wonder, are you saved? If that's the kind of witness you're being devoted. You see, God has blessed us so much. God has given us so much. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. What has God given us? What has God given our church family? What has God given America? Things are good, aren't they? It seems like when things are going all good and well, that's when people become undevoted. You see, in Joshua 24, things were going pretty good. God had given them this promised land. And here Joshua, an old man, an old warrior, one who endured the wilderness, one who saw the miracles that God delivered them out of Egypt, one who served Moses. And now he has led the children of Israel to conquer the promised land. And this old warrior, this old man, gave them an ultimatum. This old man who had led them and was a warrior for the Lord God gave them an ultimatum. He said, first, he was telling them how God had blessed them, how God had delivered them. You see, in Joshua 24, verses 5 through 7, God had given them deliverance. And when he reminds them of all the things that God had done for them, you got to write grace on it all, because by God's grace it happened. In Joshua 24, verse 5, it says, "Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea, so that they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time." So he was reminding them how God had delivered them. And families need to remember how God has delivered you. Are you saved this morning? God has delivered you from the powers of darkness. Are your children saved? Then God has delivered your children. Are your grandchildren saved? God has delivered them. Isn't God good? He delivered the children of Israel. He's delivered families today. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what God's done for us. Also, God has given us victory. In verse 8 of Joshua 24, He says, "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you." God has given them victory. God has given you and I victory. God has given families victories. Oh, it's amazing how when people will come and request prayer on Wednesday night or Sunday night, "Pray for me, I want this job, I need work, or my family needs this, we need that." And then they get the big promotion or they get the job, and then they don't have time for God anymore. It's amazing how often that happens. And yet God has given them victory after victory. God has given them gifts and abilities. You see, in Christ, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's victory. Victory. And Joshua, this old warrior, was reminding them, "Remember the victories that God has given us." Also, God had given them protection. Verse 9 and 10, "Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he continued to bless you, so I delivered you out of his hand." You see, God had protected them against this false prophet. And he was meant to curse them, but yet God turned it into blessing. And God protected them. You see, Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him, and He delivers them." You see, God has protected our families, our children, and given us victories time and time again, and then we forget about God when everything's okay. Then it happens again. Then we want to pray some more. We use God as a rabbit's foot sometimes, and He's not a rabbit's foot. He protects us. We have God's presence as born-again believers, and the Bible assures us, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." It gives us protection, and we're covered. When you're part of a family, when a child is born into a loving family, that child has a sense of security, a sense of protection, a sense of belonging. God does the same for us. When we're born again, we have His presence. We have His protection. And we're covered. We have a spiritual covering that only God can give. Protection. And yet, we forget about it. Aren't you glad you're healthy enough to be here this morning? I am. There's been a time in my life that I was saying, "Oh Lord, please allow me to preach again, because I'm too sick to go. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to preach. Thank you for my health that I have right now." And we pray and pray when we become ill and sick, and God delivers us and puts a hedge of protection around us and our children, our families, and we don't give Him the praise for it. And God has given us possession also. Joshua 24, verses 11 through 13. Then it says, "Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. That's grace. God has given us a possession. God has given us homes and families and jobs, and God has given us so much by His grace. So much. In salvation, we have received that promise. That promised seed, that promise that was promised centuries before in the Old Testament, and that was His presence, God the Holy Spirit. You see, the promised land in the Old Testament is a great picture of what where we are today as born-again believers. We have eternal life. We have the presence of God in our hearts and lives, but yet there's still all those ites out there. The Jebusites and the Hittites and all those ites, those enemies are still out there. We have victory. We have the promise. We have eternal life. And yet still in this promised land that we are in, we still have those ites. New Testament says the wiles of the devil. The war's won, but there still are some skirmishes. And in these skirmishes, Joshua, this great man of God, this leader, this old warrior who was devoted and faithful all his life, gave encouragement to the younger families and to those that he was leading. He said, you have a decision to make. Are you going to serve them and their gods? Are you going to serve the one who has delivered you and has given you victory and has given you protection and has given you by His grace eternal life and has given you this promised land? Who are you going to serve? What are you going to serve? You see, this promised land has enemies in it. But someday we're going to be in heaven. Someday. The ultimate salvation. He has forgiven me of my sins. He is forgiving me of my sins. And yet someday I will be face to face with Him. Salvation. Still have all these ites with skirmishes in this spiritual battle that we are in. And Joshua says in verse 14 and 15, now therefore fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a call to devotion. Who are you going to serve? I can't help but notice a lot of our young couples are not here this morning. Let me focus my eyes in the back. There's some back there. Some of you ain't that young sitting back there, though. I'm talking to a lot of grandpas in here today. I know I am. And grandmas. Joshua was an old man when he said this. An old man. Old men, we need you to stand for God. Old men, we need you devoted to God. If we're ever going to have revival in a church, if we're ever going to have revival in America, the men have to do it. The spiritual leaders in the home and who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the church has to lead it out. You're the ones that have to be devoted. Joshua was saying, for me and my house, me and all my descendants, we're going to serve the Lord. If you serve those other gods of entertainment and sports, and I love all of that. I love to hunt and fish. I love football. I love it all. But I don't serve that. I serve God. And Joshua is saying, if you want to serve that, go ahead. But for me and my house, we're going to be in church. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve God with our abilities and our gifts. I may have just one talent, but I'm going to serve God with it. I may just have one gift, but I'm going to be devoted and give it to God and increase that. Because I love God. And I'll show you that I love Him by what I do. Men have to do that. And I love you ladies. Lord, we'd have to close shop if it wasn't for you. The older men have to do it. Who are you going to serve? Who or what are you devoted to? Joshua 24 verse 23 says, now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. See, the people said, Joshua, we want to serve God like you. Joshua said, okay, if you're going to serve God, you can't serve the world and God. You can't serve the gods of all the ites out there and then serve God too. You got to put it away. You cannot let that take the place of God, not the least little bit. Put them away and serve God. You see, do you need deliverance today? Does your families need deliverance? Do you have someone in your family that's on drugs or alcohol? Do you have someone who is living a very wayward life in your family? Do they need protection? Do you need protection? Joshua said, put them away. Be devoted to God. You be devoted to God. Let's pray. Lord, how easy it is even for a pastor to put something in place of you. So God, we ask help. Help us to be sensitive to sin. Lord, that was a question that it's easy to know the answer. There are so many people who need to be delivered in our families. God, may judgment begin in the house of God. May we put away the false gods and serve you. May we return back to our first love so that our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will love you and see our examples. Amen.